Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read some scriptures about Abraham's faith. I've been preaching, I guess, a series of messages on faith that does not fizzle. Listen, if your faith fizzles, it was fraud from the first. Abraham is depicted, he is described as the father of faith. Actually, Paul will say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7 that if you exercise faith in Jesus Christ, then you are the children of Abraham. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Abraham was a prototype. He is a iconic figure of faith. Everyone, not only in every dispensation, in every age, Old Testament, New Testament, we would always look back to Abraham at his infinite degree of faith. He reached a plateau, a level of faith that no one else has ever achieved. That's why he earned that title, the father of faith. His faith was tested, and we looked at last week from the 22nd chapter of Genesis that faith is always tested. Now, Abraham was a special person. We learned that in the 22nd. Well, I've been trying to, I use as a text this morning, Genesis 22 and verse 1, where it says, after these things. That's where I'm still at, okay? Genesis 22 and verse 1, after these things, Abraham, you know, God tested Abraham's faith. That's kind of where we're at, after these things. Abraham was a special person. He was called upon to go to a specific place. He was called upon the 22nd chapter of Genesis to go to Mount Moriah, which I believe is just a mountain region around Mount Calvary. He went to Calvary, and he was called upon to offer up his beloved son Isaac on an altar to God. There was a solemn purpose in that because it displayed, it would forever display in every generation to come the way of salvation, that God Himself would offer up His only begotten Son for us, and that Son that He offered up on Calvary's cross would be a substitutionary atonement for our sins. He would take our place. God would provide us redemption, and He called that place Jehovah Jireh. There was a solemn purpose in Abraham going there. I had a man years ago that challenged me about Abraham, and he was an atheist, and he was targeting what Abraham did in offering up his son. Listen, folks, this thing became a figure. It became not only a figure of the death of Jesus Christ, but it also became a figure of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn those things in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. At the end of that sacred purpose, there was a special promise that was provided. There was a promise with an oath, with a vow that was given to Abraham. This sacred promise lives on today. They were saved by promise. We were given a promise. That promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We today, we put faith in the promised seed of Abraham, which was Jesus Christ the Messiah. We put faith in that sacred promise that was given to the Jews, and we get saved too. We Gentiles become the children of Abraham by faith. And all that includes, now there was a phenomenal thing about Abraham's faith. The Bible says he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We put faith in Jesus Christ and it's accounted unto us for righteousness. Not only that, but the Bible says that Abraham put faith in the Messiah, in the seed, and he just had a little bit of light of the gospel, but he believed enough of the light of the gospel that it not only brought righteousness to him, imputed righteousness into him, but he stood justified in the sight of God by faith. And we too can receive the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. Yes, and stand justified in the sight of God. Therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, he got righteousness by faith. He was justified by faith.
He also was born again by faith. He repented and put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham was set free from the bondage of sin. Now that's where we started last week. His journey in verse 8, where it talks about him being called out of that place. He left a place of idolatry. He left a place. Now, I believe there's a pilgrimage associated with faith. You've got to leave the old world and come into the new world. Amen? You got to depart from the idolatry and the wickedness that's in the world. And you've got to look to the heavenly world. You must look to Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And I believe Abraham did that. So there's a leaving of the old life. I know we've got a Christian movement among us today that don't believe that faith is a pilgrimage, that you must leave the old way of life. In order to be a believer, in order to be a Christian, you must have a transformation that occurs in your life. I believe that you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's the born again experience. You need to be born from above. And listen, when you're born from above, you're pulled out of the below world and you're put on a new plane. You listen, He pulls us out of the miry clay of sin. He sets our feet on a solid rock and He establishes for us a new going. New way of life, amen. Over and over again in the book of Acts, this is called a way in the way, the new way. And there's a new way of life for every believer. Abraham, by faith, when he was called to go out, verse 8, out into the place which should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. I believe it's the reason he didn't care about where he was going. I mean, he got saved. You know, I've heard some of you talk about the day you got saved and you walked on you felt like that you were walking on air for weeks. I mean, you were in a new and living way. You've been set free from the bondage of sin. You realized that you had experienced the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Abraham experienced the cleansing of the blood of Jesus when he repented and put faith in the promised seed. And it set him free from that place. Now, Ur was the city of Ur, that region of the Chaldeans, that area of Mesopotamia. It was a wicked and perverse area. He left that place. He was called to come out. I believe every church member is called out to come out of the world. That's what ecclesia means. We're called out. We're called out by the power of God. We're called out by the Spirit. And I believe God's people need to be out of the world and set in a new way of life. And when you get saved, you need to follow the Lord in baptism and be part of His church. Part of His church. We're committed to this going in this new and living way. And so Abraham, he didn't really care where he was going. But by faith, he sojourned to a land of promise. Now, the reason I want to read these verses in Hebrew is because it's a summary of the things that had previously happened to Abraham. You know, after these things. Genesis 22 and 1. That's where I'm still at. Okay, that phrase in Genesis 22 and 1. There's a lot of stuff that happened to Abraham. He was not only called. I mean, his faith was tested over and over and over again. And listen, folks. Though you may have passed the test of the past, you'll still be tested till the day you die. He was old at this point. But there were many tests and trials of Abraham's faith. I thought about the wonderful things that Abraham got to enjoy. You know, he fought terrorism. Did you know that? He actually built up a campaign to fight the terrorism of his day. He was so successful in freeing these people that had been taken from Sodom that when the king of Sodom approached him, he said, "I'll give you all the possessions and all the spoil." But Abraham had integrity. He has such integrity. He told the king of Sodom, he said, "I would not so much take a thread of spoil nor a latch from a shoe." He said, lest others say that the king of Sodom has made Abraham rich. And he was wise, wasn't he? This man had the privilege of having angels sit at his table. Amen? Yeah. I mean, he interacted with Melchizedek. We still haven't figured that out. I mean, over and over again, the things that went on. This man gave birth to a child at the age of 99. And then after he gave birth, well, he didn't give birth, but I mean, he was involved in it. You know what I'm talking about. Sarah was 90. I mean, they saw the power of faith. And there was great patience. He received the promise. Sarah was barren. They went on and on and on and on and on, just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And people, that also is one of the elements of faith. Waiting on the Lord. Patience. The patience of faith. There's many passages of Scripture regarding that. But anyway, Sarah gave birth, okay, to Isaac at 90 years old. Abraham was 99, and he was involved, and the Bible says he was dead in that department. And but you know what? Even after that, Sarah died, he remarried and had more kids. I can't explain that, but I'm talking about the power of faith. The power of faith, the patience of faith, the pilgrimage of faith, people. All of these things that we see in Abraham's life and journey of faith, we also see in the life of the believer. Amen. You know, he got the promise. Stephen said when he was preaching or teaching or whatever that deacon was doing before he got stoned in Acts chapter 7 and verse 5, he said that Abraham received the promise, but he never received the inheritance, not so much of a place to put his foot. But he believed. He believed the promise of God. Though he never saw it, he believed. And he patiently waited for it. And that faith that he had in the God that called him out of Ur, that blessed him and set him on a different course, God proved his faith over and over and over and over again. How was he able to do that, folks? How was he able to endure all of these trials and these provings? I think the answer is given to us in these verses of Scripture. It says, by faith, he who was a sojourner. That's what we are, folks. We are sojourners. This is a perfect picture of the Christian life. This world is not our home. Listen, we're putting way too many investments into the things of this life and not enough investments in the things in the life hereafter. We're not setting our affections on things above like we should be. As we go through this pilgrimage of the world, we have to look to the Lord in faith, believing in Him. Listen, yes, Abraham, when he was called out of Ur, and God gave him these promises, these wonderful, precious promises, Abraham, by the grace of God, became a special person. I believe every one of us that have been called out by His grace, and our feet have been set on the rock of Jesus Christ, every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we are His special people. And we also have some precious promises that God has given us. We stand on them. We sung about them this morning, about standing on the promises of God. Oh, and so we too are special people. Listen, special people are also tried just like Abraham, who's a special person, was tested. We also will be tested. Every one of us have been to that. Every one of us have been to that special place. Man, if you've not been to Calvary, we sang about that too, about going to Calvary, the place where Jesus died on the cross. Listen, if you've never been to the cross of Calvary and looked on Him whom you pierced and trusted in Him to the saving of your soul, you need to do that today. You need to go to Jesus. Yes, Abraham ultimately ended up in that special place, that place where Jesus would pay the sin debt for us, where He'd be the supreme sacrifice for us, where He would be a substitutionary atonement for us. Listen, friend, if you've never been there by faith, you need to go to the cross of Calvary and be saved before it's everlasting too late. I believe the work that we're doing involves a solemn purpose, just like everything we're doing right now, everything that's going on in our life. We're on the potter's wheel and He is shaping us into vessels of honor. We need to submit to His glorious hand. He knows what He's doing. His purposes cannot be frustrated. I believe His purposes cannot be frustrated. All right, but anyway, so He was sojourning in this land of promise. You realize that, don't you? God promised him Canaan, but he never owned it. He didn't own it. He just walked around in it, just bouncing around in a tent from place to place. Only little portion of land he bought was some land, a burial plot, a little burial plot for his wife Sarah. That was it. Not only him, but also Isaac and Jacob, they too were in tents, just wandering around in there. It says that in this passage, you know, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob. Heirs with him of the same promise. How is he able to do that? You know, having the patience. Here's the problem, folks. I mean, you think about the two aspects of Abraham's life. When he got saved, I believe it was a glorious time when he got saved. I believe God saved him and he was marching out of Ur and he was set free, felt the shackles come off his soul, knew that he had something special. God had something special planned for him and he was on a journey. He was on a mission for God. Went over there to Canaan, just bouncing around. Boom, 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 boom. Just all over the place. Crazy life. And then the second great event was, of course, when he finally entered in the presence of the Lord into glory. I believe he entered in Canaan land and it was his. Okay? Entered into the glory. And you think about your life, the two main things in life, getting saved and going to heaven, okay? The problem is that place in between. In between. All the great patriarchs, all those that got saved in the Old Testament, they looked forward to putting their heads on Abraham's bosom. And think about the 16th chapter of Luke. Hurriedly, the rich man and Lazarus. Abraham was the one that spoke to the rich man in hell. And what did he talk about? He talked about the in-between times. Lazarus had a lot of problems in the between times of being saved and going to glory. Listen, folks, don't be deceived. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as they went through this pilgrimage, they had a lot of hard times. Listen, this is a perfect picture of the Christian life. Jesus told us that it was going to be hard, that we're going to have hard times. The in-between times are hard. But how are you able to endure this life? Look at this verse. Verse 10. How do you get through it? He was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, Abraham was called out of Ur. He went into Canaan. And I guess he was just walking around, bouncing around in a tent, never even owned so much as a foot of ground to rest his life. But it was coming. The blessing was coming. The inheritance was coming. It's coming. It's coming. And he had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. But he never staggered at the promises of God. His faith never fizzled. And it tells us in these passages that they never saw the promise with their eyes. It was something they had deep in their hearts. Wow. What's the Bible say about us? Aren't we supposed to be working for the Lord? Waiting for the Lord? You know, isn't the blessing coming? Amen. We're to be working and working and waiting and waiting and watching and watching. Paul said, be not weary in well doing. You will reap in due season if you faint not. Don't let your faith fizzle. Keep waiting.
not fainting, and you will receive the prize. All right, I'm going to condense this. I've got 7 references about us being patient. And, you know, faith is it's dumb and deaf to doubt. It doesn't get discouraged. It's blind to impossibilities. It believes God can do all things. Amen? Yeah. I mean, it just trusts the Lord. Trust the Lord in whatever circumstance or situation, and is patient. Now, the patience, of course, comes in the power and patience. Those are our next kind of two pegs. Patience and power and positivism and proof of his faith. Those things are all wrapped up in these verses of Scripture. And I'm gonna cut this short. How was he able to be patient? It tells us clearly in verse 10, he looked to a city whose builder and maker is God. That's how he was able to endure. Now the Bible teaches us we need to set our affections on things above. You know why you have so many problems, or why those problems get the best of you? Because you're looking at things around you and you're looking down and you're not looking up. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it says, we're compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Yeah, run with patience the race that is set before us. I challenge you to try something. I challenge you to, this afternoon, go in the backyard, and I want you to run looking down at your toes. You try that. You just try that. You'll trip all over yourself. I was at the gym and I was on a treadmill and I got to listening to some gospel music and got to praising the Lord, and I shut my eyes and boom, man, I hit the wall. Don't step off on those things. Dangerous. Okay? You need to look where you're going. Don't shut your eyes. You need to look where you're going. You need to look up to where you're going. Amen? Listen, I don't care what happens to you here, it'll matter little there. Amen. The problems of this present life, they cannot compare to the eternal weight of glory. Amen. You know, and something may get to the best of you down here, but it'll be settled up there. Amen. Yeah. So keep your eyes looking upward. Set your affection on things above. Colossians 3:2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus. Where's Jesus at? Right hand, Father. Looking unto Jesus. I contend if you'll keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the problems around you will not matter much to you, because you're looking upward. You're not looking downward. You're not watching your feet. You're looking to the finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Wow. The patience. So how do you have patience? Well, you look to heaven. I'm going to jump from that beyond the power. Listen, the power of faith brought about a birth that was impossible. Sarah was barren. You look at the next couple of verses. It talks about Sarah's faith and Abraham's faith in conceiving and having a child. And this was the child of promise. This was what they rested their entire Abraham and rested his entire eternal hope on. Isaac, the seed, the promised seed. But they had an assurance, a positivism. Get a song, Aaron. Of heaven. They knew where they were going, didn't they? Listen, Abraham got saved, and when he got saved, there's one thing that was assured to him in his heart. He was going to heaven. Going where God is. Amen. That's what the psalmist said. You know, I delight in thy, O Lord, and in thy presence. And one of these days we'll be in the presence of God. He knew he was saved. Let me ask you this morning,
Are you sure about heaven? Are you sure about heaven? Are you sure about heaven for you? Huh? Do you know you're going to heaven? This man knew. Listen, I was talking about the paradigm. I was talking about the pegs. I was talking about the markers of faith. And listen, all of these markers that Abraham had, we have. We get saved. We leave this world. We fix our heart on the next world. We love God and serve God with all of our hearts. We prove we fear Him above all else. And we know we're going to heaven. We are the children of Abraham. Do you know you're going to heaven? Abraham, one of the reasons he was able to just walk around, go around in a tent all the days of his life, care nothing about this world, like Lot, who chose the fame and fortunes of Sodom and Gomorrah. Didn't care. He didn't care. Because his eyes and his heart was fixed on the next. And he was able to go through this world with patience because he knew he was going to heaven. He knew he was going to heaven. Listen, children. There's one thing, that one knowledge that you will have when you get saved, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you'll know you're going to heaven. I mean, I didn't know a lot when I got saved. I was only 10. But I knew that when the burden of sin rolled out of my heart, I was going to heaven. I mean, nobody had to tell me. I just knew in my heart, heaven would be my home when I was saved. Y'all know about that? Same thing happened to Abraham. And when you repent of your sins and you put faith in Jesus Christ, there's a knowledge. A knowledge. That's what salvation is. It's a perception. It's a spiritual perception, a spiritual knowledge that you're not only a child of God, but that you're going to heaven. I knew the night I believed with all of my heart that I was no longer on my way to hell, but I was on my way to heaven. Did y'all have that experience? When I went down that night to the altar, I knew I was on my way to a devil's hell. If I didn't get saved, I was going to split hell wide open. But when I got off that altar that night, I knew I was going to heaven. Abraham had that. You need to have that. As we sing a verse of some song, there was a positivism about their faith. You know, I'm going to share this with you. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. But don't go to one of these churches that don't know they're going to heaven. Don't sit under a gospel that just hopes they're going to get there. Make sure you sit under a gospel like that gospel that was preached to Abraham, where people are assured and know they're going to heaven. That their sins have been washed away by the power of the blood, and they're going on that journey upward. Let's stand and sing. God bless you. You're here today and you've never been saved. I pray you'll make heaven your home. Sorry I kept you so long today. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Yeah. And I'm going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Father's kingdom. Amen. I'm going to lean over and put my head on the bosom of Father Abraham. He traveled this journey a lot more, with a lot more difficulty than I did, because he showed us the way. Amen. He was the example for us. He gives us a pattern for a life of faith. Listen, if your life of faith doesn't correspond with the figures, the prefigures of the Bible, the prototypes of Scripture like Abraham, you don't have true faith in God. I'm looking forward to that day when I'll see Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing other folks too. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A whole host of people. Paul, Peter. All of my heroes. They're my heroes in life. I can't wait to visit with Noah for a little while. And I'm saying, how did you last so long building that boat? All the people, you know, sneering at you and, you know, pestering you and persecuting you. How did you endure 120 years of that? I'm going to be curious about some of these things that these great men have done by faith. stop the mouths of lions. What a great... Can you imagine spending maybe we'll have eternity, but just with Daniel and stuff? And here's the neat thing. I want you to notice this, okay? This is so cool about the Bible, about these characters of the Old Testament. They were ordinary folks. Ordinary people like you and like me. And they weren't scholars. They were ordinary folks like us. And they put faith in God. I've said this a lot of times. The hinges of human history have turned on the insignificant people like us, making Jesus Christ their Lord. Just ordinary folks trusting God, and yet they become staples of the world's history. Be one of those. God can take an ordinary person who's nothing and make them extraordinary by the blood of Jesus. God bless you. Love you. May the Lord bless us. Let's be patient. Amen? Be patient.